It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Yeagy, and I'm really glad you're here today. We have an interesting guest today that's kind of laid back, but kind of has some really interesting perspectives on some cool topics that I know you're going to want to hear about. Things like asset protection, self-financing your automobile, you know, why you may or may not want to have a 401k. We're going to try to get a lot of these topics in for you today because they're not normally what we talk about on the Wealth Architect Podcast, but they are important and you should know about them. We have an expert in the financial market, stocks, bonds, 401ks, other retirement vehicles, and he's the CEO at Private Banking Strategies. And he's got a keen awareness of market risks and dangers that put clients' money and retirement funds at risk, which we don't want to have happen. And he's discovered the age-old secret to the ultra-wealthy. And you've heard us talk about it kind of before, but that's that we should be our own bank, right? So let's welcome Vance Lowe. Vance, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come in. It's just a great, fun way to discuss issues that bother us, that we may be concerned about, maybe government a little bit, but getting back to some old school basics as well that we might have left off. So I am just thrilled to be here.
Good. We're glad to have you. And let's start off the top. You know, right now we're in the middle of a banking crisis, or at the beginning of a banking crisis, or at the end of the banking crisis. Depends on what strategy and perspective you have. So let's just start off controversially by talking about that. What do you think is going on? Just this week, we've had three banks fail and the Fed is bailing those banks out like we knew they would. What do you think of all that?
Well, I think it's the tip of the iceberg. I think our banking system has done some things to us for some time. I believe it all occurred when the Federal Reserve first was sanctioned by our government. I like to tell people this. In 1900, America lost a war. We don't know we lost a war, but we did.
Sure.
And the Federal Reserve took over at that time, and they mandated three things. It was the Federal Reserve that mandated the IRS, brought in the IRS to control our assets. It was the Federal Reserve that put in Social Security, the national Ponzi scheme, so to speak. And then I think the worst case is they mandated education, took over the schools, government schools now. And we have what we have today. So they rule behind the scenes, you know, let the government take all the heat, the pressure. But if you do things wrong, if you try to create things out of thin air, pretty soon it catches up with you. It has every country. You know, guys, if you really want to see what's going to be happening in America, we just need to look at Venezuela,
yeah,
Argentina, and where it's almost a playbook here. I don't know. Everybody goes by these rules. Oh, we have to do this next, you know, and so on. So, you know, I really think we're in for something.
I read a book, a fascinating book last year about Zimbabwe, and I knew the whole story about Zimbabwe. They just kept adding zeros to the bills. And I actually have a $50 million bill from Zimbabwe. I have two of them. So I'm a 100 millionaire, right? Because I've got $100 million worth of Zimbabwe dollars. But I found it interesting when I looked at those, they have an expiration date, which is really, to me, and we can even talk about this, is the precursor to a central bank digital currency, which the, you know, the Fed is probably going to be introducing very quickly. And that's just the beginning of the end of them controlling how much money you can have. And if you have the right opinion, and if you have the right opinion, then you can get at your money. And if you don't, then you can't. You know, if you use too much,
we'll see, it's
heart producing meat or something, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good.
You know, it's people like yourselves, and this is why I'm so thankful for you and your services, is helping the people understand we can't allow a digital currency. And here's what people don't understand. They really do have power. I found that in the state of Texas, if you call your representative, your congressman, you represent X number of zero people. And it starts as low as 10,000 people. That's the lowest. But in some circles, especially in things like this, you make a phone call, you're representing over 100,000 people that think like you. So if you get you, your friends, other people calling saying, look, not only do we not want you to go to digital currency, how about going back on a gold standard? This will really get them.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that.
But you know, go back on a gold standard, get your act together, and because we're not going to put up with it. You won't believe what, you know, how it will scare them.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you can do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. And don't you think going back to a gold standard will just open us up to more of the same? Because we always, no matter when there's ever been a gold standard ever introduced in humanity, they've always gone off the gold standard, right?
Right, right.
So it could basically create more of the same. I don't know. That's what I'm afraid of. But we shouldn't let any kind of central bank digital money come into play. But they're going to say, hey, look, all these bank failures, it would have been a lot better if we had CBDCs. And we should implement them as soon as possible so that we don't have these failures anymore. And the Fed just prints money out of thin air to rescue all these places, right?
Well, you know, we've got to point out who caused the problem, and we can't leave it in their hands. No, you know, we're not going to let the people who caused the problem try to solve it.
Yeah. Well, we always have. We always have. So,
and we deserve what we get.
Yeah.
That's what
that brings me to a question, Vance. And that is, you know, what is the next currency? Is it a cryptocurrency? You know, there's 20,000 coins out there and there's Bitcoin. Is it a gold-backed dollar? Is it a CBDC that is more fiat money printing? What do you think?
You know, I really don't know the answer to that. It could be anything. What I'm concentrating on is, what if we don't want to play that game?
Okay.
What if we don't want to participate? Is there an environment? Is there an economy? Is there a way to do that? I say there is. And this is what I think our government and banking and the IRS don't want us to know. And I think we need to get this information out. We go back and we declare our independence and we live our own lives. We have ways right now, I've got probably close to 1,000 clients who live in an environment that do not create any legal taxable events inside their economy. So if we can go back to that with what our country had, what made our country so strong, and it's as simple as, hey, people used to get in covered wagons and go out west where wild Indians and no settlement, and they would survive, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
It's because they knew something. They knew how to survive. They knew how to run their own family unit, their own individual units for that success. Those that didn't, yeah, they fell by the wayside.
Wait a minute. I thought the government had to take care of us. I thought the government told us how to run our families and run our education and run our companies and tax us to do it and run and pay for other countries on top of it. I thought the government was the answer to everything.
Well, that's why that's the new education. That's it. It's the same thing with children vaccinated versus non-vaccinated. It isn't that the non-vaccinated are 10% or 20% healthier. They're over 100 times healthier.
Isn't that something?
Than children who have gone and taken all their shots and been vaccinated.
Yeah.
Our own immune system is superior to everything, but it needs to be exercised. Kids need to get sick. That's their job as little kids, little teeny kids. They got to get sick, go through everything, and they become the most healthy people on the planet.
Yeah.
You know the opposite. So, and that's what's really facing us right now is a depopulation of America. So it's frightening. The banks have come in, and I thought this is how they would handle it. They would turn around. They don't want to introduce the Dodd-Frank Act just yet. However, they socked it to the stockholders.
Sure.
The stockholders get nothing. And, you know, here's what's really funny. The presidents, all the employees, the vice presidents of that bank went ahead and paid all their annual bonuses. They paid out themselves 100%. They went to their top clients. They told them to get their money out. I mean, officially, do I know of some of this? It's not in print, but you can see it. You can see, I forget who, I'll remember in a minute, but he had all of his stock and money in that. And they, you know, he got it out, you know, a couple of months ago, just recently.
And management sold off a lot of stock right before.
Oh, yeah. And all their stock was sold. And
Silicon Valley Bank is the bank we're talking about. So I'm a believer in Bitcoin. And, you know, I don't necessarily know if it's going to replace everything or anything, but I think it certainly is a viable option to sit alongside, you know, of some of the other currencies that we quote here. It's the only currency with scarcity. The other ones have an unlimited scarcity, including all the fiat systems that have ever been created. This is the first truly scarce asset, certainly that acts as a currency. So will it sit next to the dollar in the future and maybe act as a store of value, and the dollar will kind of be your checking account while Bitcoin is your savings account? What do you think of something like that?
Well, again, right now, government's not controlling the Bitcoin.
That's right.
And if government can't control, they will do everything they can to destroy it.
Yeah.
And you know kind of how that's going on right now. So I agree with you. It could be, you know, the solution. If we could keep that independent, if we could stop all the new coins, that's a problem, because there are a ton of coins out there that are trying to enter the market that are not legitimate. And people, you know, will buy some of those and everything. So you've got to have some regulation there, I think, but it sure could, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of clients 100% trading in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about retirement, because that's a big deal for us. And I think you have a concept when it comes to automobile ownership. Talk to us about that and why that's so important.
Well, it's an example of what we have to do.
Okay.
I take a lot of my education and learning from R. Nelson Nash. He was my mentor and tutor, and he is the one that started the Infinite Banking Foundation. And our spinoff on that, we call ourselves Private Banking Strategy. Mm. But that's a good illustration of how money works. We have to understand what money really is. First of all, the common individual doesn't know. Even people in 6 and 7 figure income, yeah, they've been lucky, or they've done this, they've, you know, and now they've got a lot of money coming in, and they've got money working for them. See, you've got the person who works for money, and you got the person who has money working for them. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the money working for you. Even a low paid blue collar can turn his world around in a heartbeat and have his money working for him if he puts the banking equation back in people's lives. And you mentioned this earlier, and this is the crux of things. Let's do car financing. Let me give a good example here for everybody.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a car and you financed it. And I would like to make an announcement and throw out a question and ask, how many people don't have a car payment? And all those who raised their hand, let's laugh with them and call them liars. Okay. Because you're still driving. And what the banks have taught you how to do is say, when you get done with that car payment, you're done with car payments. You can shift that payment over to something else.
Okay.
But they didn't get the money back. Banking is all about getting the money back, right?
I suppose, sure.
So all we have to do is show people how to get back 100% of their monthly expenses every month, just like the banks. But they have to incorporate that there's things that are missing. Banks never don't get the money back, right? They always get it back. And there's a reason for that. Number one, it's always lent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if a client or an account goes bad, a lot of people, well, they could lose money that way. Why are banks failing? This is not why banks are failing, okay? They're failing on a magnitude of other problems.
Sure.
Collateralized, you know, they want 10 times the collateral before they'll sign any type of business loan. They want to own your receivables. They want to own all your assets. Okay. They want to own your children, your grandchildren, all in collateral.
So what's the solution there?
So the solution is if you're going to put 100% of your money in someone else's bank and let them profit off of it, switch that to yourself. It doesn't mean we can give up banking because we still have to do bill pay and everything else. I'm not talking about that. Okay. I'm talking about where our money resides. So if we set up our own system, then we can do the same thing that the banks are doing. And let me give you a good example of why we finance every single thing we purchase. We were taught as kids, the best way to get through life is to pay cash for everything, right? You know, but that's financing right there because we give up the interest we could have earned on that money for the rest of our lives, and it puts us back to zero. And that's the bank's strategy for all of us, is to get back to zero. Go into debt, buy your car, almost get it all paid off so you're at zero again, then go finance another car.
Hmm.
Or save it up until you got enough money to pay the car. Now take your money, pay for the car. Okay. Now you have to save up for the next car. Everybody has a car payment. Okay. But if you were to self-finance it, then you would make the profits and everything. So let me give you an example. I'm the finance company, Low Financial Services, and I do this all day long. I really do. You have an existing car loan and the balance on the loan is about $10,000, but your monthly payment is $500.
Okay.
So I just... $10,000. Okay. That's what I would have to come up with to buy the loan. The monthly payment is $500. That's good. And the interest rate we're going to say is 8.5%. I would buy this debt in a heartbeat. And when I ask people why, everybody goes, well, you're going to make that 8.5%. And then I ask them, what would happen? Do you think my motivation would change if the interest rate was zero? Oh, well, sure. Why would you even do it then? It wouldn't even hinder my motivation, folks.
Now, why is that?
Here's why. There's two numbers left, and it's called velocity, volume of return. So let's do the math here. I've got to come up with $10,000. I got to put $10,000 to work. What am I going to receive monthly on this deal? $500 a month. Mm-hmm. Times 12. That's $6,000 a year. If I want to find out what my volume rate of return is, I divide the annual volume, $6,000, by my money at work. Is a 60% volume rate of return high enough for you?
I don't know what to compare a volume rate against.
Okay. It's money back in your control. It's now in your hand. It's a second touch.
All right.
What can you do with that $6,000 now?
Right.
You buy more debt at the same rate. 60% is about the average.
Okay.
In other words, we can double assets about every 2.5 years without any risk except that guy looking back at you in the mirror. So self-financing cars, there's different ways to do it. You can look on our websites. We have little podcasts and everything that really go into detail on how people can self-do this, all different ways.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, let's shift gears in our remaining time to how do you pay zero tax on your investments and the growth that you have in your investments?
Okay.
That's something you talk about, right?
So we just continue then.
Okay.
Well, now we got $6,000 backing in because I'm, let's say I'm self-financing it. One of the things we have to recognize, whenever we start and run a company, we have to also be a client of that company. We can't steal from our company. If you do the research, the number one reason businesses fail is because they steal from themselves. Hmm. This is why Nelson puts this famous grocery store story in his book. The grocery store mimics a family's life. If the owner's family goes and shops at a store, but goes out the back door instead of through the cash register, that grocery store will fail every single time. Number one, employees will see him and feel like they're entitled. And one can of peas, and this is back when he wrote the book, stolen, takes 20 cans of sold peas to replace one can that's stolen.
So at a 5% margin, which is about what real grocery stores make. Okay.
So once the money comes into our control under our economy, we've already paid tax on it. Now, I did this to myself. I took over. I bought my own debt. I set it up. I kept paying the $500 a month, and I got the $6,000 back. Okay. And I'm keep doing it. There's no taxable event right there, is there?
Right. Because it's a return of payment on a loan.
Right. So if you have a bank and you have a client, there's no taxable events between the two. Hmm. Okay. So you can double assets as much as you want. It's the volume of return. It's the new money coming in that has to have tax on it. Okay. Where can this money reside? Well, what if we resided in those old banking contracts with those life insurance carriers, those mutual companies, those participate, you know, the ownership companies where all the policyholders are owners.
Sure.
It's all tax-free unless you want to be taxed and you break the rule. All the growth, everything in there, every day, it always is a plus. You're always better off than you were the day before. Yeah. So that's where you store your wealth. But here's the other thing. When you go to use it, like if you, hey, I just found a duplex I could go buy, pennies on the dollar. I pull my money out of there, okay, and I'm not pulling my money out. I'm borrowing against it. I'm leveraging it. So everybody, all your clients know pretty much leveraging and everything else. You're not taking your money. You own the company. Now, you can't steal from it, so you're going to pay a little bit of interest, but your money is still going to earn those guaranteed rates plus the profits. Now you're going to go make your deal, and you're going to make those profits as well. As the money comes back in, it's a second, a third, a fourth touch. Hmm. If you spend a dollar and you say, hey, this dollar's worthless. I just put $20,000 on a car and now I own the car. That money now is gone for me forever. You have to go re-earn it. And don't make this mistake, folks, thinking that for every dollar you spend that you lose control of, it's only going to cost you a dollar to replace. The minimum will be $2 because you've got to pay everyone else along the way. Mm. And that's what banking wants you to do.
So let's, what you have some information that you can give to people that want to find out a little bit more about what you do, because you have a different spin on things and, you know, that might be interesting for a lot of people. So how can people find out a little bit more about you, Vance, and where can we send them?
We have a free book on our website. We call it a red pill book that, and it's titled What Banks Don't Want You to Know Will Make You Rich.
Sure.
You go to the website, download that. And then it's from there. If it piques your interest, I got all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of information, email services, and we can even have people take it for a test drive before they get involved. They can literally see with your own numbers what this strategy will do for you. Everything's found on privatebankingstrategies.com. Again, privatebankingstrategies.com is where our website is. We welcome everybody to that. Like I said, if anything interests you, more information is available. And then you can find on the Nelson Nash Institute, good information. Just don't make the mistake of getting into the pornography of banking. Everybody else has tried to sell their wares and they'll sell product, but they won't teach the banking part. So,
wow. Interesting perspective, Vance. So listen, everybody, the world is changing out there, and you've got to be abreast of all the different opinions, all the different angles, all the different ways that you could protect yourself and your loved ones, and start to position yourself for what's going on in this world. And it's changing quickly. And you're starting to see some cracks in the system that are brought on by this 100-year-old, 110-year-old banking system that Vance has been talking about. And that's the IRS, the Fed, the educational system. All the things that you're seeing now are starting to fail as institutions in this great country are changing. So you've got to know what's going on. People like Vance are bringing a great strategy. Vance, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. And I appreciate your being here and offering your perspective to the Wealth Architect podcast listeners.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you so much.
And those of you who are listening and watching the Wealth Architect podcast, I want to thank you. And until next time, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.